We've had dark horses who've come up lame and thoroughbreds who've shown their quality. Euro 2020 is only a week old, but we've already had drama, great goals, and some surprises too. I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is Football Only Better. Games are our focus today. Thrilled to say that the Han Solo to my Luke Skywalker, Mark O'Hare, is here. Mark, let's kick off with the 2 p.m. game, Hungary against France in Budapest. France, the 1.35 favourites on the exchange, with Hungary at 12.5. We know Hungary gave Portugal a tough test before they ended up losing 3-0. Can they do the same here to the French?
I think they can. I think they can make it difficult. They showed that they can do that. So I don't want to be disrespectful or patronising to Hungary, but they did battle well. Marco Rossi, the head coach, the Italian, he's put in a system in place there over the past sort of 12, 18 months there, which can make Hungary compete in these big games against the big teams. The issue really is that they just don't have anything in the final third, with Dominik Szoboszlai missing. So, you know, it was a reasonably basic game plan, but it worked pretty well for 80 minutes. They did empty the tanks. They offered something on the counter-attack, even if it was just a bit of industry. And I think the full crowd definitely did help. I think we saw a decent battle on the field. Players looked lifted by the support. And unfortunately, when you play a team like Portugal, you've got to be at it for 90 minutes. And although the first goal was unfortunate, you did probably think that the pressure would eventually pay. Because unlike when we saw Spain against Sweden, I thought Portugal moved the ball a bit quicker, showed a bit more directness to their play, and made changes that could influence the game as well. The final score was harsh. It was a deserved defeat, though, for Hungary. So you've always felt that Portugal probably had the toughest assignment playing Hungary first up in Budapest with the full crowd. So in theory, this will be slightly easier for France, but the price, obviously, is quite short. So, you know, you're not going to get too much change out back in France to win this match, even if they are expected to do so with potentially a bit of room to spare. But I don't think it's going to be that easy for them. I think Rossi will set Hungary up to in a very similar circumstances, and I think France will be quite happy to sort of press and probe when they need to. And eventually, you just look at that front three, it's very difficult to not see France breaking through at some point, is it? So, I don't know. I'm expecting this game to follow a similar pattern to the Portugal game. So I was looking at France to win the game and under 3.5 goals, which is 4-5, 1.8 on the sports book, which, obviously gets in on your side, France to win 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 or 2-1. I think the first three of those correct scores look the most likely. I don't see it being a complete walkover. Obviously, all those three goals that Hungary conceded came in the last 10 minutes, one of which was a deflected goal, one of which was a penalty. So, and France, I think once they get the first goal, I think we'll see similar to what we saw against Germany, really. Just sit back, contain and counter when they need to. And it's just, I found this reasonably straightforward, but also, there's not a huge amount of option here. You've got to try and find a way to get France on side. And I thought getting under 3.5 goals was the way to do it.
International man of mystery and trader supreme, Jason Murphy, is with us once again. Jason, since France played, I've had a chance to talk to Mark about what he thought about them. Before we get into this game specifically, what was your assessment of what the French did against Germany? Because my feeling was they basically played in second or third gear and still fairly comfortably beat a decent Germany side.
Yeah, as soon as you were talking there, that's what came to my head, second or third gear. They're just a world-class boxer, almost reminded me of Floyd Mayweather, as in Germany just didn't lay a glove on them. France were just by far the better side and could have won by more, probably should have won by more. Unluckily with the two disallowed goals, just a couple of inches with both of them being onside, and Mbappe is just, he's phenomenal. He had one chance similar to the disallowed goal in the first half where Neuer makes a brilliant save, and then we obviously see the disallowed goal, how good a finish it was. It's just frightening. And again, Mark, it's ticking all the right boxes that I'm kind of thinking about here, as credit to Hungary, they battled. They were unbeaten in 11 games coming into it, but if you look at them, like, I think there was only two teams in the top 30, Poland ranked 21st, only three teams in the top 40. So like that unbeaten run, it wasn't against great sides, and include Ireland in that run as well. So they came up against Portugal ranked 5th in the world and France ranked 2nd in the world. And this is where you're just going to see the cult from class start to come into it. The home crowd, a massive factor in. At the price, I've only got eyes on the price for the French win. Like I say, 4-11, 1.36. We've seen some sides with home advantage. We've seen some price moves. And if France do drift out to the 1.4 or 2 to 5, then I would be quite happy to get involved with France at that price. If you consider that Portugal went off 1.5 or 1 to 2, if you rate France quarter of a goal better than Portugal, which I do, I'd be quite happy then at 2 to 5, that there's definitely a bit of edge, a bit of margin in that. And that's all I'd be looking at. But it was brilliant for Hungary. It was great as a spectacle to see the fans there and, you know, the players interacting with the crowd. It was great to watch. But yeah, that's all I'm watching for this game is just that French price. And if it's big enough come kickoff, then I'll happily get involved.
So Mark's already mentioned Bet Builder of putting a France win together with an under 3.5 goals bet. And it's worth remembering that our fantastic multiples offer is running every day throughout the Euros. Bet £20 on multiples or Bet Builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or Bet Builders. T's and C's apply. Now, there's a heavyweight clash in Munich at 5 as Portugal face Germany. Germany, the 7-5 or 2.4 favourites. Jason, that just doesn't seem rooted in reality to me, because what we saw with Germany's performance against the French was what regular watchers of Germany have known for the past 3 years. They move the ball too slowly. All of the attacking moves are on the off the cuff. It's not rehearsed. They're just relying on individual quality, and just the balance of the team doesn't seem right to me. And Portugal, having seen them against Hungary, are no different opposition, obviously, but the two teams don't even look on the same plane, let alone the Germany team being favourites here.
Yeah, very true in what you're saying there. I mean, it's a major tournament, and Yogi Löw doesn't know his best 11, which is what you need. That's the first thing you need to know going into a major tournament. And part of that is his own fault with what he's done with, like, Müller and Hummels. Great that they're back, but yeah, like you said, they don't know their best 11. It doesn't look cohesive, and if we're going to score, it's more by accident or individual brilliance rather than design. And what's driving these prices is purely the home advantage in Munich is the reason why Germany will go off favourites for it. I don't have much of a difference between them in ratings, and I'm not fully convinced by Portugal. For some of the similar reasons, I think they've got great individual talent offensively, but whether Santos is getting the best out of them is questionable. I mean, if you look at the game, Portugal against Hungary, they had plenty of chances, but Diego Jota, like, he's a bad touch. He should lay it off to Ronaldo, but he still gets a shot away, but he should give that to Ronaldo. There's another one. Jota again gets a chance. It's a bad touch. He swivels and gets the shot away. But if he's aware of Bruno Fernandes coming in behind him, you know, Bruno Fernandes sticks it in the back of the net, and they don't have the drama or the bit of tension laid on. And they're just not cohesive enough, Portugal. And they're two teams that I just don't fancy for the tournament. And at the prices, I wouldn't be keen to back either side or get involved for this game. What I will say from those two matches as well, it's interesting. Expected goals, we love it as a metric. It's informative. It's only one piece of the puzzle. But the fact that Germany won the expected goals against France really should tell you, you know, just be careful when you're using these kind of stats. They are informative. They are helpful. But yeah, Germany win the expected goals against France, that's not true. Likewise, actual results are never great. And you look at it and see Portugal 3-0 at 90 minutes. It doesn't tell the full story of that game either. But in terms of this match, looking for a bet, there are two teams that I'm not really fancying, to be honest. And at the prices, I'd be leaving alone this game. And I'd actually be looking, if I was to have a bet, I'd actually invest it in another team that I might like in the outrights rather than having a bet specifically on this game.
Yeah, it's interesting what Jason says there, Mark, isn't it? Because anyone who watched the 90 minutes between Germany and France and didn't purely look at the stats, if you watched the game, you could see the gulf in class, because the French did what they do. They got the lead and Didier Deschamps pulled the drawbridge up and said, right, no more, and we'll hit them on the counter. And with Portugal, I find them really interesting because Fernando Santos, their coach, is a pragmatist at heart, like Deschamps is. And even though they created chances, he was quite happy to have two holding midfielders and say, right, we're not going to let the Hungarians score. So, you know, they'll go into this game having already won with the idea not to lose rather than to go out and win it, won't they?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely spot on. And that's how I'm approaching this game. Portugal with the 3 points in the bag in the must-win match with a +3 goal difference makes a huge difference, I think, to their mentality and their approach. You mentioned Santos being an arch pragmatist. He absolutely is. I think he's wonderfully set up for knockout football. Not so much in the group stage, where I think we saw 5 years ago where things can get a little bit tricky for Portugal because they can be a little bit overly cautious. But they do have that fantastic front four or five if you include João Félix on the bench. But you're absolutely right. You look at the central midfield of Danilo and William Carvalho, even Renato Sanchos coming on and influencing the game against Hungary too. He'll always have that solid base to work from. Pepe and Diaz were strong and solid. Obviously got attacking fullbacks, but they'll show caution as well. And I think this game is all about how Portugal approach it. I think they'll be more than happy to take a point, knowing it pretty much guarantees them a route into the last 16, whereas the onus is really on Germany. The price is not for me. I think when you look at that price of Germany, considering they went off favourites against France, which is just laughable, really, but you look at it and you say, it's very short. How am I seeing Germany win this match? Well, actually, go back to the dynamic of things. I just wonder, I know Germany won't have this in the mindset, but I think after an hour or so, will Germany just agree and declare for a draw here, knowing that it goes out to the final game against Hungary and beat Hungary reasonably comfortably like Portugal did? And they should really be taking a top three finish, which would see them through to the last 16, because goal difference will play a big part. And I think that's why Portugal's plus three already makes a significant difference to how they will approach this match. So I wouldn't be too surprised if both teams, almost after an hour of kind of knocking the door at each other, just almost agree to see the game out as it is. So I originally came into this game thinking I want Portugal double chance on side, which is almost hitting 7-10, 1.7, which immediately stood out to me as an appealing play, but almost took it a step a little bit further, tried to get a bit more out of the price. The draw and under 2.5 goals on the sportsbook is 11-4, which obviously gets you 0-0 and you're 1-1 on side. I don't see this being an open, frantic game. Germany might well take the onus and try and sort of, as they did against France, but as we saw, against a well-organised defence, they're not necessarily guaranteed to get those goals that they require. So, yeah, it's not a massive game. I think from a neutral's perspective, it's going to be really good fun, really interesting. But I think from a betting perspective, it is really difficult. So that's why I went for the bigger pick of the 11-4 draw and under 2.5 goals.
It's really interesting, that idea of Germany just potentially thinking that a point will do, because I wouldn't back them to win any game comfortably at the moment, given the dynamics of the team. So
Do you see what I mean, though? Almost, if you beat Hungary completely.
And they may well do that. They may well do that, but it feels like a risk to me, because the way they're playing right now, I could see Hungary giving them a few problems. The final game sees Spain take on Poland. Spain 2-5 or 1.4. Poland, the big outsiders, as you'd expect, away from home in Spain at 9.8. Mark, Spain had so much possession against Sweden, but couldn't break them down. They'll face a similar test here, won't they? Because I can't imagine Paulo Sousa will be. I know he's tried to be more attacking with Poland, but I can't see Poland really going for it.
They might not go for it. I don't think they'll get the opportunity to really go for it, because I just think Spain will monopolise possession again. I think this is a rinse and repeat to what Spain, in terms of a bet, we did with Spain against Sweden, which was Spain to win and under 3.5 goals at 21-20, because I think they're... The performance wasn't great against Sweden at all. I wasn't massively impressed at all. I think the preparation obviously counted against them. They weren't able to play their final warm-up game. They weren't able to do too much team training either after the COVID issues. But they weren't bad, but they weren't fantastic. I didn't think they moved the ball fast enough. And I thought there were definitely areas in which they could improve. But you switch it to Poland, I thought they were absolutely garbage, to be honest, against Slovakia. They were so lacking in so many areas.
What did you really think, Mark?
I came into this tournament wanting to oppose Poland, but I thought Slovakia first up was a great opportunity to see how far they've come under Sousa, but it was garbage. They lacked any sort of spark. Lewandowski was isolated, no service, just disappointing defensively all over the place. And now they have obviously they've got to go to from St. Petersburg to Seville, which isn't going to help. The heat is going to affect them as well if they're chasing the game. I didn't see any of the spark that we're supposed to have seen from Sousa, getting the best out of Lewandowski in that forward line. I know injuries haven't helped with Milik being missing. It's hard to be positive about Poland after that performance against Slovakia, which was almost a must win. I just think Spain will, at this point, grind the team down, and it probably will be Poland, because, it's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. It's not a game I'd want to be chasing. Spain should, in theory, they should have scored really against Sweden, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Morata misses that golden opportunity. there's a few opportunities in the second half too. So yeah, Spain should win this match.
Jason, this is the big debate in Spain and beyond at the moment, isn't it? Because Alvaro Morata has a couple of big, big chances against Sweden. He admits himself, I feel sorry for him really, because he says himself, sometimes he watches games back that he's played and thinks, how have I missed that? And he does all of the hard stuff well, and some of the more straightforward stuff not so well. And so there's a lot of clamour for Gerard Moreno, who's had a fantastic season for Villarreal, to come into the starting lineup. And you feel if they can find the right striker, they could be a dangerous team.
Yeah. I'm not a sports psychologist, but I don't think that's the best thing to be doing, watching missed chances again and again.
No, probably not.
But yeah, Moreno came on the other night, and obviously context, he's coming on 20 minutes left. He's fully fresh and Sweden are quite tired, but he did look a bit of a spark when he came on. Very unlucky with the header. You know, either side of the keeper there, it's 1-0 in Spain, win the game. So there is decisions for Luis Enrique to be made, and that's kind of one of the tips I'd put up for this game here, as in whoever starts in that Spanish number 9 position is going to get the best chances in the team. If it's Moreno, he's 3-1 first goal scorer, and very likely on penalties given his record with Villarreal this season. But if Ferran Torres moves in central and he brings on someone else like Aratzabal maybe to play a little bit wider, yeah, for Antares, 6-1 first goal scorer. Likewise, Aratzabal is 6-1 first goal scorer, and he's a fantastic penalty record with Real Sociedad, so he could be worth a look, because we're just not sure who takes penalties for Spain, same way we're just not sure who's going to play number 9. But Luis Enrique is his own man. He won't give a jot what anyone is saying in the Spanish press. He'll pick who he thinks should play that number 9 against Poland. But when that team news comes out, that's where I'll be looking at goal scorer markets. If Morata's there, okay. He's 10-3 first goal scorer. Yeah, I might have a look at him. But if it's anyone else, I'll definitely, that's who I'll be looking to back for it. But to allude to what Marcus said, first of all, yeah, Poland, absolutely garbage. I'm glad he said it, because I thought likewise. Wasn't a big fan, and not a big fan on Slovakia. Slovakia knocked us, as in Ireland, out in the playoffs, and we went off favourites against them, and we were missing a record player through COVID and injury as well. So Slovakia in no great shape, but it just shows why football is such a great sport, because when the red card happens, Slovakia have a better chance and to go and get the winner and actually win the game, and now in a great position to get out of the group and have a great tournament and a great summer. Whereas Poland, again, on the big stage, are failing to deliver, including Lewandowski. I know he doesn't get the same service, but he's a big player, but he just hasn't done it at big tournaments. And okay, unlucky with Milik, and Piatek also picking up injuries didn't help them, but it's self-inflicted as well. Why make that change in January, bringing in Paulo Sousa, knowing he'd only have 4 or 5 games to work with? Completely tear up the playbook and try and do something completely different. Okay, if it works out, it looks like a genius move, but it certainly doesn't look like it's going to work out now.
Yeah. If they carried on, the name escapes me, with the previous coach, who was defensively minded and getting criticised for being too pragmatic and overly cautious, that would effectively be working in the major tournament. It would probably be an asset to have. So to sort of switch to this more attacking unit for a major tournament just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, just the fact to have Lewandowski in the side, they thought we need to get more of him. In qualifying, they did very well in qualifying, great record. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think they won 8 out of 10 games. But I think they only scored 20 goals, which kind of alludes to that whole defensive mindset and just not wanted to mix it up. But it's like, you know, you could be with a great looking bird and you decide, actually, no, I'm going to go with something else here, and you could be worse off. You know what I mean? Sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and that's what Poland are finding out here. But in terms of the outright betting, Spain were matched below 8.0 in play against Sweden to win the tournament out. And after that 0-0, they were out to 9.8. So I was happy to go back in again at Spain at 9.8. Reason being, they had the chances. They had 8 chances, but 5 of them were really good quality. You had Olmo's header, you had Moreno's header, you had Morata's chance. Koke's second chance was a great one. And even Sarabia, I know he sees it late, but that's still a great chance in my book that could have gone in the back of the net. And another one as well in the expected goals, it was 1.9 to 1.1. But that doesn't tell the story of the game. I know Sweden Borg had a massive opportunity, but I suppose again that's just football, as in you can dominate a game and almost get caught. Portugal nearly got caught with Sean putting Hungary 1-0 up, he was just offside. That's why we love it. But Spain, I'm not worried about that result in whatsoever. Like Mark says, with the build up and the prep that they had, which wasn't great, the fact they've got this game under the belt can only benefit them. The only slight thing is the home advantage. I've kind of tweaked it a bit because that pitch is brutal and it does not suit Spain in the slightest. But all things considered, the best bet for this game is have a look in the goal scorer market. If Luis Enrique decides by himself, not due to media pressure, to go with a different number nine against Poland.
I think the most worrying thing about Spain is Luis Enrique's olive cargo pants, but that's a different debate for a different show. Now it's time for the podcast treble, where we each have a selection from one of the games, and lovely traders like Jason wrap them up for us in a boosted treble. Now, am I going to be sneaky here and use presenter's privilege and take France to win? No, I'll leave that one on the table. Mark, you get first pick.
Well, if you're going to leave the open goal, I'm going to take it. So France to win.
Okay. Jason, I'll let you have a pick.
I was hanging at the back post there. Why didn't you? Well, if we're going that short, I'm going to go with Spain, but we'll juice up a little bit. We'll say Spain in over 2.5 goals because they should have had 2 or 3 goals the other night. Given the travel that Poland have to come to this game, I quite fancy Spain to win it. And if you want to get a bit of juice out of the price, you back the over 2.5 goals to go with.
Right, and I will hurl in Portugal draw double chance. That's what I'm going to go for because I think Portugal can avoid defeat in Munich against Germany. Don't forget to check out the Daily Boosted Treble on the Sportsbook, where you can boost the odds even further with your odds boost token. T's and C's apply. That's all we have time for on this edition of Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly if you enjoyed the show, and how could you not have enjoyed the show? Leave us a nice review with your usual podcast provider and subscribe if you haven't already. From Mark, from Jason, and from me, it's goodbye for now.